The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Today, a bonus episode, an interview with PAX 8 CEO John Street. A conversation about the pandemic, being quoted, and projections into the future. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Well, John, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to cut right to it, right? I started by calling something out. I posted on LinkedIn that I was bothered by some statements that you were quoted in CRN. So I want to read the quote and then let's talk about it because I think it requires some expansion. Yes. You were quoted as saying, "The only reason we slowed down is because when the pandemic hit, our clientele is largely small business, and I personally thought we might have a lot of defaults. We may have a lot of cancels. I wanted to make sure that we had the financial resources to weather the storm, and the storm turned out to be a big, fat, nothing burger." Now, I took issue because I view this storm as bigger than that, and I called you out, and so here we're talking about it. Was I right? Was I wrong? What was the misquote? Help me understand this.
It was not a misquote, but it's kind of out of context. And that's what I wanted to clarify.
Okay.
I wasn't talking about the pandemic in general. The first wave of this, we did a lot of work. We really, you know, we really battened down the hatches, as you might imagine. And what we found was whatever was going on for us economically, we was probably offset, we think, by the tailwinds that were created for everybody's rush to the cloud to go remote work. So we saw an uptick in business. So all of the planning, we really did a lot of important work in the March-April timeframe to make sure that we had the financial resource to weather the storm.
Sure.
And so what the impact directly to us was that there wasn't really that much of an impact because I think sales actually picked up on one side, and where we did have defaults, we had the reserves set aside and it hit us with much less impact than we thought it would. But I think the work we did was really important. So what I want to be sure to be clear on is I'm very sad about the effect COVID has had on our society, and I didn't want to in any way be cavalier about that. But for us as a business, we did important planning, and we think that there was probably some increase. We didn't see a lot of increase in cancels, and we didn't see a lot of increase in bad debt, but there's probably underlying customers, end user customers within our partner group that were having issues. We had the direct ability to work with our partners and have worked with many partners about helping them to plan how to pay us if they were having some pathology in their ecosystem.
Gotcha.
And that's the work we did. So the impact to us was far less than we had planned for. And that's okay. What I meant to imply in that.
Cool. And I wanted to give you a space for that. So before I ask some questions about the business storm,
sure,
I'm going to actually take a moment and ask, like, but the personal storm, like, okay, like how are you and your family doing during this?
Well, we're doing well. And, you know, I'm really among the lucky ones because we have a business that's growing through this. And I live in a nice place. I'm not stuck in a small apartment in downtown Manhattan and can't get out.
Right.
I live on, you know, some nice land in Colorado, so I can get out. And I really consider myself very fortunate. But I'm acutely aware of sort of the personal impact. And in fact, inside of PAX 8, we've done a lot of things to make sure our employee base, we have about 550 employees now, and we do a lot of outreach to the employees to make sure everybody's really handling sort of the mental grind of this COVID pandemic. We're making sure that they are handling that well, and I think we're doing a pretty good job on that.
So I'm going to ask then, because you brought up something that I've been thinking about a lot on the show, and so sure, are you making specific investments in, like, cultural changes to the business based on the new distributed work?
We're actually just sort of reimagining how we come back together. I can say with pride that we've been very culturally driven from the get-go. One of the reasons we think we're doing well in the market is that we really have servant leadership. I've been building businesses for the last 35 years of my life, and I'm acutely aware of how much culture really plays into the success of the company. So we've invested heavily in education and training for our staff. We do it for our partners. We do all kinds of things. And our mantra is really the employee comes first. And I think people that talk about the customer coming first have it exactly backwards. If the employees are satisfied and happy with what they do, the customers naturally get taken care of. And I think that's the happiness of our employees is a big factor for us. And we do lots to support them and make their jobs easier.
Okay. Well, it's important because that's a theme I've been talking about on the show is the investment in culture to drive those changes. And I think we're going to be making those changes about re-envisioning on the other side. Yeah. Let me ask then about now that we've tackled the personal, because that's of course important. Let me get a little bit into what you're seeing. You know, when we talk about the storm, then there's the two storms, right? So I think that's the misstatement is the storm you were talking about was the impact to you, not the larger bit. Just a little bit of projecting out. I tend to be, I'm gearing up and advising a lot on the show that I think that this is going to go on for a little while. I look at this and sort of say, we're kind of only at the 50-yard line, if I think from a football style bit. Are you thinking the same way? Is the advice outward to the channel to be really conservative thinking and planning?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think 50-yard line is about right. I think we have probably 6 months of real struggle ahead of us. And we've continued to sort of keep reserves, you know, ready in case we see a wave of this. And we're kind of keeping our fingers crossed that we don't get impacted too much. But the planning work we did back in March and April before, we've kept that in place, knowing that, you know, people talk about the V recovery and the K recovery. And we kind of see it as a K recovery, but moving closer now to a V recovery, but not really starting to see that, we think, until probably May or June.
So
there's really a tough few months ahead, and we're gonna keep listening to our partners and be very careful about how we continue to expand. But having said that, we are investing in the growth, and we are continuing to hire people. We added almost 180 people to staff last year. We have pretty aggressive plans to hire additional people because the demand for cloud products is continuing to go up. And we just happen to be lucky that we're in an industry that seems to be growing And as you know, there's lots of businesses that are actually thriving through this, but there is a whole sectors of industries that are really struggling, and we're keeping our eye on that a lot.
Gotcha. Well, you're in alignment with some of the things I've said on the show. I did a recent piece about the K-shaped recovery, and I really was highlighting exactly what you said, that it's industry specific. You've got to dig into understanding the impact on your customers and your customer to know which industries and how that's going to flow up through the system.
Yeah. And what I really think is we looked at our own customer base, and because our customer is really the MSP, so we don't always have all the data on the end user customer. But by and large, we don't see a whole lot of clientele that are in the travel and leisure business. That's an industry that's, you know, highly impacted by this. And what we think is that the early adopters of cloud tend to be more progressive companies, and they're coming through this in pretty good style. And those are the guys that are still buying stuff. And of course, as everybody's moved to remote work, we have a whole series of products around that stuff. So it's really accelerating all of that. So it's offsetting whatever, you know, downturn that might be happening out there. We're pretty good quants, but we don't know it all.
Sure. So great opportunity then to ask my next question, because I built myself as an analyst, right? And watched the managed services space, the small business technology services space. And I freely admit that I've had a bit of a blind spot when it comes to PAX 8, in that I scratch my head and go, I don't get it. So I want to sort of say, like, help me understand. There's a couple of things. You're a cloud distributor, you're a marketplace, but in your own words, for somebody like me in quick, I don't get it, John. What is it exactly?
We really look at it as a cloud marketplace. Okay.
Okay.
There's really a problem that the vendors need to solve, in that the cost of customer acquisition in the small business market is cost prohibitive to most vendors.
Okay.
So you have to have effective aggregation at the low end of the market. It's a lot easier for me to sell an add-on product than for the vendor to sell direct as a standalone product when it's part of a complement of products. Okay. And so as I grow the marketplace, think of it, we often think of it like a grocery store. The idea of you selling your particular product on your own, especially to the masses, gets difficult. You can work on large enterprise sales, but to get it out to the masses, you have to have effective aggregation. And for us to have a marketplace that's well merchandised, that understands the needs of our small MSP partners and how they get these products, is really important. And so we've done a couple of things that we see traditional distribution not doing. And we specifically don't think of ourselves as just a distributor. Mm-hmm. There's more to it than that. So I understand your confusion, but we've had the struggle of trying to define ourselves as the market understands us. But in my own brain, I always think of us as a cloud commerce marketplace, and that we have to be particularly good merchandisers. And what we really understand, I think this is what sets us apart, is we think the MSPs make most of their money by having lots of clients. It's not about having lots of products. So if you make it easier to get product, they can get more clients. It's pretty simple. And so we look at all the ways to simplify their life. And then we turn to the vendors and say, your cost of acquisition at the low end of the market is cost prohibitive for you. And we can solve that problem for you, because we can, you know, we already have north of 100,000 small business customers, and we're growing very quickly and expect to be very dominant in the small business market because we can deliver.
Okay.
For the MSP themselves, there's two things that we've added to traditional distribution. One is we've simplified billing. Everybody worked on simplifying provisioning through a single pane of glass, but we've solved the problem of billing. And the second piece of that is that we do really give tier one support. There's more marginal profitability in cloud products if done right. And the idea that MSPs can actually get tier one support from their distribution partner or their cloud marketplace is important. And we've committed to that. And what we've done internally is we've created just a second to none kind of service tier that's surprising to the MSPs. And the reason that we're so popular with them by word of mouth is they get real support from us.
Okay. So you said something I want to sort of dive in on a little bit more, because you said it in the way that I needed it to unlock, right? And because you started by the problem by saying that the big value was that you were going to vendors and helping them with that, establish that relationship. Is the prime acquisition for you, like the best candidate on the vendor side, one of those vendors that has a valuable product, but does not have a great way to, say, MSPify that? Is that what you're looking for?
Not necessarily. I think what's more important is to understand there's a coming explosion of cloud SaaS product. Okay. The idea of launching a new SaaS product where people, we have a lot of clever people in this country that can find gaps in the market to create product. And when they do that, the cost of capitalizing a new business is pretty efficient if you focus your sales on larger enterprise, really build your product to serve some key customers, and then really you can use an effective aggregator to get to smaller business to create the traction. The idea of building sales around small business customers is extremely difficult for emerging new SaaS products.
Okay.
So that's the guy I'm looking for. And I'm happy to say that new cloud vendors that are coming out with brand new and next generation kind of products look at us and say, wow, you're the distribution arm I'm looking for because you get it.
Okay. So that, I think, leads to then logically to my next question. So you've recently launched the PAX 8 Pro stuff.
Yes.
Is that the next version of that? What's the add-on there that makes that different?
Well, we look at the cloud ecosystem into sort of four quadrants. It's products, it's tools, it's services, and it's enablement. Okay. So we expect that we'll kind of have our generic brands, and we're looking for gaps in the market. And it's all built on making that MSP more proficient at doing his administrative work. So the PAX 8 Pro line of products are really built around efficiencies for MSPs to use tools. And there's a vibrant tool set. So we look at the market, we want to distribute, we want to co-opt anything and everything we can, and where we see gaps, there's opportunity for us to actually build product. But as we're out in the market, we're looking for guys that actually have these services. So it doesn't matter to us either way, but I think we have an unusual connection with our MSPs and really understand their business, especially the smaller MSP. And we know that there's certain things that they're really not getting from the ecosystem today, and we can fill that gap.
Gotcha. So there's the cloud SaaS world. I mean, you know, we all talk about the cloud making things, you know, simpler, faster, cheaper. It actually makes things more complicated, right? It's
That's what we understood from the get-go. It's a Chinese menu. One of my founding partners, our CTO, Klaus Nimmler, we had a lot of discussion when we started this thing. He's like, I don't understand with the cloud, it makes it easier to just buy direct. And I said, it does, except for the small business guy doesn't know what to buy. And you have this Chinese menu of products, and it's true for the MSP too. So someone has to be sort of the Sherpa there to show them what makes sense. And we're doing all this important analytics around, you know, kind of like the Amazon marketplace, where this is what you should buy next, and this is what people need. And you cut down, again, it's all about making that cloud practice more simple for the MSP. Because if he has a simpler way to service his clients, he can add more clients and build his business.
So, but let me turn to the other side of the ecosystem a little bit, how it interfaces with the other cloud SaaS stuff. Like it feels to me to make your marketplace truly powerful. It's very powerful now, but to get it to really unlock its potential, you need to be able to get as many cloud SaaS pieces integrated into that. And that feels like it has a scale problem in that, because there's so many of these potential pieces out there, you couldn't possibly take on integrating every single one. So help me understand, are you whittling that down? Are you making that open for them to do that work? How do you achieve the scale you're looking for?
I'm going to go back to the grocery store analogy again.
Okay.
The reason people will come to the marketplace is because they'll know where the stuff is. Okay.
Okay.
If you don't go to a grocery store really, you know, most people don't go to the grocery store to save money here, and they don't go to three or four different grocery stores. They go to the same one all the time because they know where everything is.
Well, you haven't met my wife who will coupon clip and hit five in a weekend, but okay. Your point is valid.
Yeah. So we look at it like that. What we're doing is creating sort of a universe of product. We're a marketplace. And so we want to have enough product that you have a good selection of product. And you're right. It's a scale problem if we got every product out there.
Okay.
So we have to be somewhat judicious, and we don't want to have one product step on another. We're not trying to create that in the marketplace, but it will invariably happen. And so what we're really looking for is the best, and the products themselves have to be, they have to have a really mature set of APIs so we can integrate it into the marketplace. So there's a lot of things that we look at with the products, and we're getting better as a company. I've been building a lot of scale into the company. And as we grow, we're prepared to beef up all over the company, and we'll get better and better at this, but we're pretty good at it now. And the way we look at it is it's really not we don't have to offer every single product out there. We have to understand the products that we already have. And I look at it like grocery store shelf space. We got to have complementary products in certain sections. And we separate the world into six main product lines and try to get the best of each.
So let me poke at the analogy to try and clarify something, because a grocery store in my envision has like this giant cereal aisle, right? That has 500 different versions on it. But it sounds a little bit more like a department store where you've curated brands. And you've done the curation to make it more of that because is that actually like a little bit more of what you're looking
for? That might be a better analogy. The aspect of it that I think is often overlooked is the merchandising. This is what we're really building expertise around is. For us to be effective for vendors, we have to be good merchants.
Okay. And
this is the real break from traditional distribution. It isn't about producing a catalog with smart people sifting through the catalog to get what they need. It's about helping the vendors to merchandise, to understand what's in your market and how to merchandise those things in complement to other things in the market itself. And what we're trying to drive to is to get loyal buyers of product to come back to the marketplace because they get pretty much everything they need. Maybe not something specific, but we also have a feedback loop with our partners. If they like a product and we don't carry it in our marketplace, but they want to buy everything else, that's one of our big criteria of selecting a new product for the marketplace.
Okay, gotcha. So I would normally like make this question sort of say like, hey, 5 years out, but COVID's accelerated everything. Yeah. Right? So we're all moving. So instead, if I were to give you the magic wand and sort of say, John, about 2 years out, where do you want to have made like a big impact? What's the big impact for you?
One of the things that was misquoted in the CRN article was that we're looking at our national expansion, and what it should say is our international expansion. We have some really very interesting opportunities in the international markets, and that's where we're headed next.
Okay.
We're also looking at different new sort of channels, and we believe we've uncovered a few, and stay tuned on that. We'll tell you more, but we don't want to tip our hand everywhere we're going right now. But you look at the whole delivery ecosystem is up for grabs, and there's some emerging new things that we really like the looks of.
So broad brush, then it would be scale, right? Is scale up. It's the larger reach, geographies, larger. That's the bit.
That's right. And we're doing really good work there. And we'll have some new announcements coming in the coming quarters about things we're doing. But we're extremely bullish on where we can go with this.
Okay.
Now, one of the things we liked, we struggled to get out of the chute. One of the reasons we picked this business is because when you looked at the business of what we're doing, we knew that it would take a lot of working capital to get it launched because it's complicated. And we've gotten out of the chute well, and we're well capitalized, and we can now expand, and it gets infinitely more interesting as a business as you get to scale. And I'm happy to say that we've sort of achieved the first piece of the scale, which was to build a vibrant partner network. When we started the company, I struggled to get vendors into the network because I didn't have any partners. And I struggled to get partners because I didn't have any product.
Right.
So we spent 4 years just chipping away at that. And we finally, you know, we started the business in 2012. And in the last couple of years, we don't even have to really do too much work to get new vendors in. We've got lots of vendors who are finding us. And the same thing, the word of mouth with partners, where we have a very high net promoter score. The partners are very happy in our yep. network. And I think we could, you know, as we scale bigger and bigger, that is of high, you know, critical importance to us, is to have the partner have a just an excellent experience in buying through us. Okay. And to your point, when you talk about a department store analogy, internally, we talk about the buying experience for the MSP to be sort of the Nordstrom's experience. It's just a different level of quality when you buy. If you've shopped at Nordstrom's, I don't often shop there. But when I do, I'm always, you know, I go there to buy stuff. I'm not there to shop. And I get someone walks me around and shows me where everything is. And I really appreciate that.
Well, John, I appreciate you taking the criticism gracefully that I posted online, and for taking the time to clarify here. I really do appreciate the time and the freedom of information sharing.
Well, thanks for letting me have the rebuttal. I appreciate it.
Well, this is all about a good conversation. So yes, thanks for joining me.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Addy.
Hey, did you know there's a little pink pill?
Wait. A what? A little pink pill?
Did you say a little pink pill?
Yes, the little pink pill. You definitely need to know about this.
Are you for real? Just to be clear, you're telling me there's a little pink pill for me?
That's right. The little pink pill. And it's called Addy, A-D-D-Y-I, or flibanserin. Learn more about the little pink pill at ADDYI.com. See full prescribing information and medication guide, including boxed warning regarding severe low blood pressure and fainting in certain settings, at Addy.com/PI, or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Good news, ladies. There's more. Addy, the FDA-approved little pink pill, is also affordable and can be shipped directly to your front door. That's right. With insurance coverage, Addy is only $20 per month and $0 after month 3. If your insurance doesn't cover Addy, there is still a discount program to get you the best possible price and get free shipping right to your door. So now's the time to ask your doctor about Addy. Learn more at Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.